Welcome to the Desert Sanctuary with Carl and Laura Forehand.
Often when we have doubts about religion or simply want to ask questions, it can feel like we are wandering out into the desert.
We would like to invite you to join our sanctuary, the Desert Sanctuary.
We've tried to pick guests that would resonate with and challenge us and our fellow seekers here in the desert.
We believe that a key to the journey is to keep asking good questions, and we believe that all stories are sacred.
Our hope is that you will find life and healing for your body and mind, and that you will be able to be where you are and be who you are.
And now, here is our show.
Hi, welcome to the Desert Sanctuary podcast. I'm Laura Forehand. I'm here with Carl, and we do not have any guests tonight. It's just the two of us. And
just the two of us. That doesn't even sound anything like
it. And all the listeners just turned off the podcast. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But no, we actually just kind of decided tonight to jump on here because we have some good conversation. Usually Fridays or Saturday nights, we decide to go out to dinner together and we start having some really good conversations. And I don't know, we just decide we want to share it with you guys. So listen if you want. And, you know, we hope you do listen and we hope you do share. But yeah, we were just talking about really how sometimes when we deconstruct, when we come out into the desert, a lot of times we have a tendency to fall back into old patterns. And I mean, we did that as well. We really have to check ourselves a lot. I guess I just want to preface this by saying, like, we are not authorities on this. We are not telling you what to do and what not to do. Like, I never want that to be a part of the Desert Sanctuary where we say, here's the 10 steps
and you do this.
And, like, to me, that sounds like a multi-level marketing, you know, system. And I guess we just wanted to come on here and share with you kind of some of the pitfalls we found ourselves in. And maybe just caution our listeners about those things.
New book, Evolving from Religious Trauma, is about, it's not a step-by-step, this is how you do it, but it's things we've listened to over the past 6 or 8 years and heard over and over and kind of distilled down into these are things that are effective for people.
Right.
But I'd say over the last couple of weeks, we've been kind of analyzing informally, you know, just as we're doing, we talk about, wow, you know, though that's not a friendship anymore. And that didn't work so well, you know, and this, we kind of did this wrong at first. And then we hear stories from other people, you know, so we know what they're saying they did right. And sometimes we see what's going on that's not working. It's not productive and fruitful, and they get frustrated and so on. We'll talk about that in more detail. But you want to start us off?
Well, so, like, I know we fell into this trap. I don't want to point fingers. I feel like you fell into this trap
especially
a little bit more,
especially
more
you.
Than I did. But again, you know, I think it's important that everybody does some self-reflection. So I'm sure that there were parts of this that I fell into this trap as well. But, you know, the first thing I can think of is, like, not to start anything new.
Yeah.
And can you talk about that, like, from a church standpoint?
Sure. Because, you know, our denomination, the Southern Baptist, we were in a Bible church first, but then Southern Baptist, two Southern Baptist churches. And Southern Baptists always say, start something new. Mm-hmm. They're church planters and so on, you know, walk around with a stat sheet, basically saying, I prayer walked this many times. We're starting a new group with some guy I met. Trying to do a men's group, you know, that may turn in, you know, so hopefully those things will turn into churches and recruiting venues, whatever.
Right.
But they always distress that and stress that so much that that last church we kind of revived and then all of a sudden, I mean, we're helping motorcycle people and people that had been on meth and so mm-hmm. on. We did some good work, but then we were going to start a street church ministry, kind mm-hmm. of, you know, people that won't come to a church.
Right.
And we, you know, made some progress, but...
Okay, I have to laugh at that because people that won't come to church, we're going to give you an alternative church to come to. Yeah, anyway, sorry. Yeah. Now, looking back at it, I'm just like, oh, man. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
It was supposed to be really cool, you know.
Yeah.
Then something happened, and we talked about that in a different
setting. I had a drink with my daughter when she turned 21. Heaven forbid.
Which anyway. Really didn't end it, but well, it was that their response to it angered me, and I didn't want to go on with working with the other people who were involved in it because they were very judgmental.
I was causing their brothers to stumble.
Yeah, and then, oh, that's baloney. But we're always encouraged to start something new.
Right.
And that's me anyhow. I'm a self-starter, and I pretty much always have been. I felt like I was an outcast always, so I would just try harder. I could start on my own and go start something new. So at first, we spent 2 years in a church and was just interested in, well, I could start a group here or I could teach or, you know, something I could do that would, you know, start something new.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the psychology behind that. Like, why do you think... Like, I know in churches, the reason they always want you to start something new is because you've got to keep people interested. You got to keep the trains running. You got to keep the organization going. But when we get out into the deconstruction world, what is it that causes us to want to jump in to start something new?
Yeah, I think maybe you just get a little rush because... Mm-hmm. Maybe this solves a problem for you. Mm. Deconstruction's starting to solve some problems for you. So you think, man, I got to share this with people, you know, and I got to bring people to me and help them get what I've got, which some of that's pure, some of that's good, some of it's a little warped. Mm-hmm. And people tell me specifically over and over, including tarot readers and other people, you know, we'll say, let it come to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, wait, no, that's not what I do. I make it happen. You know, I force things to happen and so on and just hard work and numbers and repetition and so on. But, you know, the danger in that, of course, is what we always do in religion and what we continue to do out in the desert usually is we don't get the help. We don't get professional help.
Mm-hmm.
We don't solve the root problems. We don't. You know, the same issues are still there. We've just got a different doctrine, you know, in a different way. We don't go to church as much or ever, but we don't get the professional help.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, and I think this goes back to what you're saying, I do think for me that, you know, and I have a tendency to do this now, even outside of religion, is if I keep busy, then I don't have to think about the things that I need to deal with. Maybe the things that are painful for me to have to deal with. And so if I keep busy, then it takes my mind off of those things. However, I have found that then when I lay my head on the pillow at night, that's when everything comes rushing. So it's like your body is going to deal with it one way or another.
Yeah.
There's so trees. Even if you're ignoring it, you know, even if you're ignoring it during the day, like I have a tendency to do, it's gonna, by the end of the day, when you're like falling asleep on the couch, which is what happens to me, and I'm like, I'm gonna go to bed now. And then all of a sudden my mind starts racing and all those fears that I could have dealt with during the day, those insecurities that I could have dealt with during the day, I didn't. So now my body's like, okay, it's 10 o'clock at night. Let's deal with these, sister, because you're laying here and we haven't dealt with this. Let's deal with it. Yeah. So being, you know, keeping yourself busy, which is something that in religion, in organized religion, they want you to do. If we stay busy, then what can't we do in organized religion?
Right.
What can't we do?
Well, we don't solve the problems.
And we can't ask questions about why things are the way they are.
That's right.
So,
just to me, it's like the little tree that's growing in the gutters back behind our house. You told me about it the other day. Mm-hmm. Again, I know because it's been there a long time.
Well, they cleaned them out one time. We haven't cleaned them out
and
yet.
And they did not get that out of there when they were supposed to. So now it's still there and we haven't addressed it. It's not going to go away.
Right.
And so just the more you just keep pressing on and saying, we'll just keep doing the business, keep going, going, going. Force it to happen, make it happen, do it. Mm-hmm. Coaching, I think, personally, I think coaching does a lot of that. Mm. If you intend to do it, you have an intention, you have a clear intention, you will get what you want. And you very well may, but the problems that are left behind may still be the same, you know, or they may be worse. Because, in you know, number one thing, you've probably got trauma that you might have even had before you went into religion. You still have it. It's not just going to go away.
Right.
And if you start a group, you know, not bad necessarily in and of itself. But if you just focused on, let's accomplish, let's get mind over matter, let's accomplish this, I'll set an intention, I'll do it, I'll have steps to do it, I'll consult with a coach, I'll do it. But then you still have that brokenness inside of you. You still have things that are not working right, and you're going to have problems. And not only are you going to have problems, but just like church, you're going to affect other people. And so,
so that kind of leads me, the whole coaching thing kind of leads me into something else. I was thinking about how we have a tendency to want to reinvent ourselves. And I'm not sure how I feel about this because I'm all about like self-empowerment and, you know, improvement. I'm all about that. Like, I mean, if you look at my classroom, I'm all about growth mindset and improving on things. And my, we have like with Whole Brain Teaching, you have a super improver board. And when I see improvements in my students, then they can, you know, they kind of reach levels like a video game. And so like, I'm all about that, but what are like, what are the downsides of reinventing yourself? I mean, I want to hear from you before I share what I think could potentially be the downside of like, and what I'm talking about is like constantly reinventing yourself.
Yeah. So I want to back up and tie some of this in, hopefully. So we think, we would probably say united, that you should get some professional help. There should be some talk therapy, but there should also be some somatic healing and dealing with a spiritual director, not a biblical counselor, not anything like a pastoral counselor.
Right.
But spiritual direction, we can do somatic work. We talk about that in the new book.
Where you have somebody that's like doing that evocative listening that you've talked about.
And someone that you can tell your story to eventually, when you find someone, find the ones you can trust. Also listening to other people's stories. Anyway, just getting better. And then doing that work, then instead of reinventing yourself. So, you know, if we just say, you know, when we write a book, we say, what's the audience? I still don't think that's right. You know, I think that's sales, you know, and if you're just concentrating on, well, I want to write the book that sells the most books, you know, writing, publishing a book is too easy nowadays because all of us can do it. We can publish as many as we want. So we, bad news for you, if you're going to write a book, you're probably not going to make much money on it unless you already have a huge audience. So I think we need to back up and not just reinvent ourselves to be whatever people are buying. In other words, what people want, the people pleaser.
That's really thing. Huge.
It is big.
That is huge.
Why do you say that? Tell me why you say
that. So, repeat what you just said. So you said, like, if we're just writing, it's that people pleaser part that you just talked about.
But
like for me, that's huge because that has been me all my life, is like trying to do what's right, trying to make people happy, trying to like put their needs above my needs, which is kind of part of the, you know, Christian philosophy, if you will, you know, think of others more than yourselves and things like that. And so I feel like, you know, you could fall into the trap of constantly hustling for that. And I even said to you tonight at dinner, like, I refuse to just hustle for my worth anymore. I can't do it. Anyway, so that's why I think that's huge.
Yeah, becoming who they want you to be. You know, and you say, well, I'm just doing marketing. You know, I'm just doing, I don't totally buy that. I think, and so, because another part of this is that you have to discover who you are.
It's
very important in deconstruction, in evolution, and evolving out of this thing we're in, is you have to discover who you are. Then you know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, and that you can't just say I was a pastor before, so I'm going to pastor in a different way. It's it's not that easy. It's a real hard thing to say. Who am I deep down? And what do we as a couple, what do I really want to do? Well, it depends on what you discover about yourself. And that's hard work.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. I mean, that's really hard work.
Well, and especially because the world and organized religion tell us who we are supposed to be. And I, you know, and I think that's part of the reason that I wanted to preface this podcast with, we're not telling you what not to do, what to do. We're not telling you 10 easy steps, you know, to make it through deconstruction to the other side. I just think that's.
Yeah, because that's, if we think if we make the right connections, okay, well, if I get to know that guy, he'll help me. People want to hook up with influencers and get them connected to them. And what you realize eventually is, let's say you have a group, a small group, you wrote a book, you want to market that book, and so you connect yourself with an influencer or a bigger group. The bigger group always benefits more from you than you will from them.
Exactly. You know?
Because what if you tie your two podcasts together? Then, you know, listeners will listen to both podcasts and they'll say, well, that one's bigger and smoother and it's better, you know? And so we don't, I think a lot of that stuff is just wasted time. But what if I'm authentic? What if I know who I am, you know, and I just do what I can do and I do my thing. Since I had my stroke, you know, I worked the first half of the day and back here doing different things. But just what I'm trying the best to do is through that writing, discover who I am, discover what's important to me. Discover, you know, what's been effective for other people and heal. And I'm more interested today than ever in healing and trauma and helping other people with trauma more than being successful. Back to, you know, we talked about work a little bit before. You said, you know, how can I afford mental health? When you have a regular job, usually they provide EAP. And sometimes that's helpful.
And there's ways, like I know for my EAP, they will only pay for 3 free sessions, but I mean, if they, all you have to do is call it in again and they can refigure that quote unquote diagnosis in order to see you for 3, like they will continue to see you for free. But you just have to like call it back in every 3 sessions, after 3 sessions in order for them to, you know, come up with a new diagnosis, for lack of a better word. Just so that they can continue to see you. I mean, I, you know, talked with an EAP therapist for probably 4 or 5 months doing that. And it was very helpful. I mean, it's just one of the things that I did. and in my healing process, but it was very helpful. So
yeah, just I've seen very few people thrive financially from mm-hmm. deconstruction.
Right.
It's the desert, you know. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. it's yeah. where you, it is where you get better. Mm-hmm. It is where you free yourself from that institutional religion, but there's no one with a church ready for you when you, you know, that matches up with deconstruction.
Right, right.
You know, unless you stop and dive back into mm-hmm. religion and take up all that other stuff. Mm-hmm.
So do you think that, you know, some of these things that we've been talking about, do you think they cause us to perhaps not communicate very well? I know we've had some conversations around that. And I really, you know, you said something today. You asked me a question about friendship. And I'm wondering if you can remember what you said. Because it goes along with that. Communicate. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, maybe just talk about what do you mean? Like when I say sometimes we fall into the trap of not communicating very well.
Yeah, I think, you know, because of our trauma, because of our, you know, mental health situation and so on.
Could it be because we want to, that busyness we were just talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
We want to stay so busy that we can't communicate with people.
Yeah, I mean,
can't return phone calls.
What's best things? Most times is if we have an issue that the two of us would get on a Zoom call or mm-hmm. a phone call. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's part of the social media dilemma and so on. We're just wanting to text it out. And it's hard for me anymore with one hand to mm-hmm. to keep up mm-hmm. in an argument mm-hmm. or discussion or whatever it is. Or whatever it is. There you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but, I know.
But I look back on some of those discussions that didn't end well.
Yeah.
And thought, what if we just would have called me? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it might have been a lot better.
Yeah, because honestly, I mean, we've talked about this for years now, not just talking about like on the Desert Sanctuary podcast, but just since like social media and texting have become such a big thing that it's really hard to read text messages and it's mm-hmm. really easy to get defensive because because of your own trauma. I'll just speak for myself because of my own trauma. I may take something that was meant to be very like benign and I have made it into something very offensive. And I get very defensive because mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah. And what we're not saying is that social media is the problem.
No.
We're just saying that, you know, that's the issue. If you want followers and you want friends online, you'll have to work at it the same way you work at it in real world mm-hmm. or in real mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. You know, number one, you have to work on your trauma. You know, you can't be trying to be somebody else,
right?
Or trying to be what sells or whatever yep. and have relationships with people.
Right.
But if you want, and we have some good relationships. We've lost some good relationships, yep. mm-hmm. you know, in the desert. But, you know, it still boils down to communication. That's mm-hmm. still one of the big issues in church. It's still one of the big issues in companies. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the big issues here. If you don't communicate well, it's not gonna, you know, it's gonna cause problems.
Right. And so what would your suggestion be as far as communication? What would you like to see happen? Because I know for the longest time you have been communicating via text message and, you know, so what do you hope to see going forward as far as you personally?
Going forward, Well, I did something today. I made a list of, you know, people that I want to connect with. And I'm intentionally, and this is not for endeavors, mm-hmm. you know, it's relationships I have.
Right.
That I want to make sure are fostered. And, you know, I want to tell them about my book to some degree. But I'm trying to set up Zoom sessions with each of them. Mm-hmm. It takes a little work, a little slower and clunkier than just zipping out some text mm-hmm. messages.
Right.
But it just doesn't work as well through text message. So I'm going to try this week to work a little harder at setting those up. And mm-hmm. hopefully they'll bear some fruit. You know, once you turn on that screen and look each other in the eye and talk, it doesn't take much time to get to clearly communicate.
Oh, right.
It's much harder on text messages mm-hmm. and so on. At the same time, I love that we can, you know, have a conversation with our daughter real quickly over text mm-hmm. and know where she is, know mm-hmm. if she's in trouble mm-hmm. or know, you know, things like that.
Right.
So,
or even our, our son, any of our kids. Yeah.
Not bad mouthing technology.
Right.
But
its place.
We have to use it responsibly. But if you and I don't sit down and have a talk every once in a while, like tonight maybe, mm-hmm. then it's just going to get worse.
Right.
And it's harder. Much mm-hmm. harder mm-hmm. to maintain a relationship. And that's what we want is relationships, not just associates or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep, exactly. So, you know, I feel like this kind of speaks to everything we've been talking about. But a lot of times we have a tendency when we deconstruct, come out into the desert, we have a tendency to repeat mistakes that we made in religion. So, you know, what do you think about that? Mm. I mean, or do you even think that is an issue?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things we always talk about a lot that we've learned in the desert is listening, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, but one of the first things I see pastors do when they get out in the desert is they start a live. They go live sometimes on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. in place mm-hmm. of their church. And what they do, what do? They have a live and they lecture.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me stop you there because you have done that.
Yeah,
like, I just want people to understand, we are not sitting here pointing the finger at anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, these are things that we have fallen prey to, for lack of a better word, that we have found ourselves, that we have done. And they mimic religion in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. Anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I don't want people to think like we're going, you know, we're speaking to any one specific person or whatever. Yeah. Like, we get it. We were there. We've done it. But we have also found that it really doesn't help us deal with the root issues that, you know, have been causing us trauma problems the whole time. Anyway, mm-hmm. I cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, listening is one of the things I've learned the most in the mm-hmm. desert, you mm-hmm. know. Through focusing and the Benedictine sisters mm-hmm. and so on, they taught me evocative listening, deep listening, and so on. I learned lessons from Laura while we're doing podcasts. I think, you know, one of the first things people could do if they're a pastor type or they have that urge to go, you know, mm-hmm. Get a podcast and just listen to people.
Yeah.
Some podcasts are horrible because the host talks the whole time.
Right.
Instead of asking questions.
Right. And really listening to people.
And not that we haven't done that or don't do it occasionally. We get wordy. Mm-hmm. But we've also listened to stories where it was just a survivor story.
Mm-hmm.
And for an hour they told us stuff that our eyes are just bulging out, you know. But we're listening and mm-hmm. we're learning from that.
Mm-hmm.
So, one thing that's been big for me lately is stages.
Yeah.
I just think we need to get rid of the stage. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean electronically?
I was going to say social media can be a stage.
That's
It absolutely can be a stage.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how to get that done. I definitely think we need to move away from theologians and theology.
Mm-hmm.
How it works right now is we have theologians. They study religion, they study languages, and they do all of this stuff to sometimes they're just correcting the mistakes of the past. Mm-hmm. We started out with the theology and Christianity of love your neighbor, golden rule, don't hurt people, etc.
Yeah.
And we developed it into a theology to control. Mm-hmm. And so then every 500 years we revamp it and we revise it. And that keeps theologians busy and employed. But when you defend, first of all, when you defend a position, you stop growing and you start defending. Mm-hmm. But then,
which is what we did in religion.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. we always want to be on the stage. Mm-hmm. We want to have a platform is mm-hmm. what we call it mm-hmm. In the electronic world.
Right.
But platforms, stages automatically create power differentials. Mm-hmm. They, you know, just cause all kinds of problems.
Right.
Influencers is the big word right now.
Right.
I don't think that's a good term either.
Well, here's, I think influencers for me, it goes back to that reinventing yourself because mm-hmm. Here's how I see influencers. I think influencers have their day, right? They have their moment. And I think they have important things to say. But then comes along another influencer that maybe pulls away some of that limelight. So then that first influencer has to reinvent themselves. Mm-hmm. And they get caught into this trap of always having to reinvent themselves so that they can be a bigger influencer than either they were before or the person that has come in and maybe taken some of their followers. I just think it's such a vicious cycle, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, to be an influencer. And I know you and I have had lots of conversations about that because that has never, ever, ever been my goal, right, is to be an influencer. Right. I want to be someone who is authentic and speaks her truth. Mm-hmm. But I have no desire to be put up on a pedestal on a stage, right, as some type of influencer.
Yeah, I think we're healers. I think we're heart people.
That's honestly what I want to be more than any type of influencer. Yeah.
So this idea of the stage, I was watching some documentaries about the Colosseums, mm-hmm, and so on. Mm-hmm. And the big thing they kept saying over and over about the Colosseums is they came for the spectacle.
Yeah.
And, you know, then Constantine does that with the church. Uh-huh. And he makes the church like a Colosseum. It's a spectacle where people will come. Mm-hmm. And so then you end up with, there's been several things these past few weeks about megachurch pastors. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them said something really stupid about women. The other one, you know, and there's several other instances of them, in some cases, fighting amongst themselves. Because what you do, if the big deal is the spectacle, what will get people in, what will draw people in, then you get the spectacle of a man that, I call the toddlers in charge, you know, mm-hmm, standing up on stage. If they're entertaining and suave and decent looking, you know, they're going to draw people.
Right.
But that's not in any way authentic. Mm-hmm. That's not what we want to end up with.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And so with kind of that whole stage and, I don't know, religious influence and influencers, you know, this is something that really kind of like turns me off even mm-hmm. today. It turned me off when you were a pastor and I was a pastor's life. But do we ever fall into, you know, churches are really, really good at love bombing people, mm-hmm, right? Or clamoring after people, especially those new people that are coming in. We want to give them a job to do because we want to keep them. We want to hook them, right? Mm-hmm. And so do we have that tendency, or can we fall prey to that even in the desert?
Yeah, absolutely.
I am super, like, I'm on guard when it comes to that, mm-hmm, because I've been very, very, I've been hurt by people that have, like, love bombed me, and then within 6 months, made me the biggest enemy of the church.
Well, I'd say, first of all, don't do it. You know, when we came in to this deconstruction thing, it was Paul Young, Baxter Kruger. Mr. Zond.
Right.
And so on. Brad Jerzak. And people clamor over those stars, right? And we've had all of those people on our podcast, of course, you know, and at times they've endorsed our books and stuff like that. But that can't, I mean, we just got to be realistic about that, you know. And I remember one time you were kind of fangirling on a Christian singer when we met him in person. And I've been that way before, too.
Gosh, who was it?
Carrie.
Oh, yeah.
And sure. So we...
And also Kyle Butler.
Yeah.
I have to say,
Kyle is the
when
best.
I met him in person, but, I kind of fangirled over him a little bit.
But Kyle is...
He's super down to earth, though.
He is very authentic.
Yeah, for sure.
He's one of the good ones.
Yeah, and, sorry. I cut you off.
He's still consistent in his...
Yep.
The way he approaches all this.
Yep.
And so we could probably just tell you, instead of listening to all this, go watch Kyle Butler for a few days.
There you go.
And you'll be in good shape.
Yeah.
He's one of the most genuine people out here. But just don't, you know, don't fall in love with the fanboy thing for whatever theologian you think is just the bomb or whatever. Mm-hmm. Don't do that to us. We would much rather just say, you say, can we have a conversation? Can we do a Zoom call, you know, and talk about issues you're struggling with? We don't really have any need for you to make a golden portrait of us and put it up on, you know what I mean? We don't have any need for any of that kind of stuff. And thankfully, it doesn't happen too much anyway.
No, I don't know that it's ever happened, and that's okay. That's okay. That's not our goal.
So what else do you want to tell people?
I don't know. You know, this is just something that was, that we had a conversation about at dinner, and I kind of got a little riled up about it. You know, I think one of the things is in the desert, sometimes you wind up realizing that you had said this, that even some of your friends that you started your journey with in the desert, I don't know if I want to say they're no longer your friends, or it's just that you've decided to take different paths. But it is a little sad when that happens, I think.
It is. It is because you want to think that, well, whatever we're doing is perfect and it's going to turn out great and rainbows and unicorns and all that. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that people are growing at different levels.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
no level is better than another level.
Right.
Like, I want to say that because we don't think we're like, oh, we're somehow superior to anyone, because that is not the case at all.
Yeah. So even within your marriage, you have to be sensitive.
Yeah.
About the fact that you're growing to different levels, and sometimes you're ahead of the other person. Again, communication's good. But then there are some people that are going to, especially if they're developing doctrine. That was kind of my next point, is don't search for a new doctrine. We said that from the beginning. Don't search for a new theology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can uncover this and say, well, I don't believe in that anymore. I believe in this. But I don't want to write a doctrinal statement, because then I'll just circle the wagons and so on. But don't, and I lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
Don't find a new doctrine.
Yeah, you don't need a new doctrine. And sometimes that's part of the problem, but sometimes it's just that you've grown faster than someone else. You're exploring different things, and so on. And sometimes you discover, you know, people that aren't authentic. They haven't done the work.
Yeah.
You know, they're not ready to go where you're going, or something like that. So, doctrine definitely plays into that, because when you decide on a doctrine, mm-hmm. instead of continuing to explore, then you start defending, you start circling the wagons, mm-hmm. you stop growing, you know, and that's okay if that's what you want to do.
Right.
You want to say, okay, now I'm a progressive, and this is what I believe, mm-hmm. and I'm good. Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay, but if I'm still moving and that's mm-hmm. not enough for me, and I need to keep looking and discovering and exploring, then, you know, we're not going to be as good of friends, probably. Yeah. Not because I don't like you.
Right.
But it's just going to cause issues, right?
Yeah, it is. Although I will say that that's a little bit hard for me, you know?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, because I feel like in each phase of being out in the desert, you know, we've made friends, and then it's not that we've lost friends necessarily, but the dynamic of the friendship has definitely shifted. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's hard. And I don't know why that's hard, because, you know, if I think about it, like, I've worked in 3 different school districts, and like, those relationships have shifted and mm-hmm. things like that. So why, when it comes to things such as, you know, church or religious doctrine or being out in the desert, why does that seem to tear at us a little bit more? I just wonder. And that may not be a question you can answer. It just may be a question that I need to contemplate.
So the picture that's in my head right now is picturing these two pastors that have been through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They've been hurt by religion. They've been hurt by people. Maybe even family members, they have some trauma, and they're kind of huddled in a cave.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say we're huddled in a cave, looking out at the landscape, it's all open, right? And you would stick together, mm-hmm. you know, you tell each other your story, you comfort each other, you help each other, you know. And then eventually you get courage, or you're restored enough to get out of the cave.
Mm-hmm.
You start moving forward, and maybe you go together for a while. But at some point, this guy says, well, I like fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see there's water over there. I'm just making this up.
No, you're fine.
But then I... you know, I see something else that mm-hmm. seems more like me.
Mm-hmm.
And you, it's really not that you're not friends anymore. If I went just for you to be in your part, you know, eventually I'm going to get more resentful and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there's also opportunities, you know, just like in real life, just like in any other part of life, to have disagreements,
mm-hmm.
to have situations come up that you don't agree on how to handle it. And hopefully we're getting better at doing those things, but yeah. Sometimes we're not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I guess that's the part that makes me a little sad, mm-hmm. you know, is when, you know, relationships that you thought, because you have this mutual... what's it called? Just kind of a mutual, you know, I don't want to say belief, but just this mutual idea of how yeah. things are. And then
same journey.
It's yeah. And then you kind of, you know, there's this fork in the road, and one of you takes the left and one of you takes the right. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. 'Cause it's not that you're not friends anymore, but there is a sense of sadness, I guess, for me, because the relationship changes, right? Yeah. The relationship yeah. changes, and you may or may not still be, you know, as close or in communication like you were or anything like that. So I guess for me, there's that little bit of sadness. I'm very relationship oriented, and so... when those relationships kind of fall and they're not as strong as they used to be, it's a little jarring mm-hmm. for me. So
yeah,
but
we've definitely made a lot. Friends that have lasted.
Yeah.
In the desert.
Right.
For probably longer than most of our church relationships mm-hmm. did.
Yeah.
After we left the church.
Right.
Now after, being in three churches in 20 years, mm-hmm. 8 years later after deconstruction, very few friends in very those churches. Few. Mostly their children mm-hmm. are kind of still following us some degree. Mm-hmm. And
are you following you?
Yeah, well, whatever. But, it kind of just goes back to everything. So if we don't get the mental health help we need, mm-hmm. We don't get better. We don't right. do the hard work. We don't mm-hmm. get better. Mm-hmm. We may not have the trauma of church anymore or the trauma of religion or the trauma of our toxic beliefs, mm-hmm. but relationships are still hard.
Yeah.
They're better when you do some hard work, some mm-hmm. mental health work, and you get rid of a lot of your trauma and shadow and things mm-hmm. like that and integrate all that stuff. But relationships are still hard.
Right.
And especially if we're just going to, do things the way we've always done them.
And to have those authentic, real, solid, true, we're all being our true, authentic selves, being true to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Those type of relationships are going to take work. And I think they're more few and far between. I don't know if that's a fair statement or not, but I guess for me they are, because I think, it's hard to be around someone if they're not willing to be their authentic self. Mm-hmm.
I will say this. There's a thing in my head I'm kind of working on. I've been working on it for a while. So it goes something like this. With God, this is what I say about God. If God doesn't show up in my life, mm-hmm. now if he doesn't bother to communicate with me, then I'm not going to have a relationship with him. If he's not showing up, if he's, especially if that relationship is toxic, then I'm certainly not going to worship someone like that doesn't show up in my life.
Right.
So it's not just what people can do for you, mm-hmm. but are they there? Are they willing to work at it a little? Are they willing to, not just fly off the handle if you do one thing wrong? Things like that.
Yeah.
So when people pay attention to the people that are showing up for you that don't have to, not love bombing, from fans. Not, if I'm your friend, that'll help me, or you can help me, vice versa. But just
kind of like a quid pro quo relationship.
But people, Derek will probably always be my friend because he was the one that called me every week.
Yeah,
after my stroke,
that's what for I was almost thinking 2 years. Too. Yeah.
Almost right. 2 years. And, we don't talk as much as we used to.
Right.
But he called me a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't want everybody that listens to this to call me necessarily.
Right.
But it's that idea of mm-hmm. how can I show up?
And calling you isn't the only way to show up for people.
Right.
So there's lots of ways to show up for people.
And so you can show up and appreciate the writing, tell them you like the writing, or just that you were thinking about them, things like that.
Yeah.
Just like any other relationship. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is us. And when we have these conversations, we sometimes just feel like we have to get on here and share our conversations with you guys too.
Yeah, I would say, you know, in summary, overall, I always, you know, almost in every book we're talking about, make sure you understand this is hard. Mm-hmm. Make sure you understand that it takes some work.
Yeah.
But we always say it's worth it. It's good and mm-hmm. it's better than before. And mm-hmm. we're so glad we did it. And we're so glad we're not in
organized religion. And we're so glad we're doing it.
And we're so glad we're doing
it. Because we have not arrived. And I don't know that personally I will ever arrive. I feel like I will always be deconstructing and growing from what I've deconstructed.
Yeah.
That's my hope anyway. Yeah. And like I said, we are not authorities. But these are some of the things that we have experienced. Many of these things, if not all of them that we've talked about, we have experienced personally in our own journey in the desert. And also just hearing the stories of many people, on this podcast,
And so when you're trying to look at these pitfalls and watch out for them, what you're going to be doing, learning to do in the desert is build your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
When you know who you are, you get good at being and you're a lot more intuitive than I am, but you learn to spot these things for yourself mm-hmm. and decide for yourself mm-hmm. and determine your path, but just be aware that there's some pitfalls. There's some things, and most of them are kind of root humanity issues.
Right.
You know, the things that are going to cause you problems in church or anywhere mm-hmm. else.
Right.
So deconstruction has helped us, has improved, has made us better, has taken us down a better path, and now we're exploring, but it doesn't change the fact that we have to deal with people. And people are the same mm-hmm. In all different areas. So,
and it doesn't mean that we don't have pitfalls ourselves. I mean, we do. We still, I think the beauty of it, though, for me, is that when I hit one of those, you know, as we were driving to dinner tonight, it was like, it felt like I hit a big pothole, mm-hmm. you know. So even when I hit those potholes in my deconstruction journey, you know, I just don't beat myself up. It's just part of the journey.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And that's how I learn and that's how I grow. And that's why I say I'm never going to stop, because I really, truly hope that I will continue to learn and grow until the day I am no longer. So.
Yeah. So. The last one, let's just give this last
okay,
one.
Okay, perfect.
Just wrote it down.
Let's go.
So, do not bypass.
Okay.
And so,
speak to that.
It's kind of melded into some of the other things we said.
Mm-hmm.
But bypassing is real popular in Christianity. You know, we do spiritual things and say spiritual things to avoid having to do the work or face the issue mm-hmm. or ask the tough questions. So, in the desert, you're going to be asking the tough questions. You're going to be coming in. The less that you bypass, you know, and say, well, I don't have time to deal with that. I'm too busy trying to make a name for
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bypass your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bypass the tough questions. Don't bypass doing the hard work to keep a relationship mm-hmm. alive. If it's your people, if it's the... you know, if it's who you need to make restitution with,
mm-hmm.
don't forgive too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to forgive if you don't want to.
Right.
And you don't have to, quote unquote, love everybody
mm-hmm.
if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a problematic statement and I probably shouldn't have said it, but you can't bypass those tough things.
Right.
The more you decide once and for all, I'm going to deal with this, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, you take an issue like, so we have shadow issues that cause married couples to fight. And we have also just frustrations because communication, mm-hmm. all the things we talked about
right.
tonight, But it's a commitment that we're not going to bypass this anymore. We're not going to hope it'll go away. Mm-hmm. Because we've learned and we are learning. Mm-hmm. That stuff just keeps coming up and it keeps worse. And unless we quit bypassing mm-hmm. the hard things.
And bypassing can be what you just talked about, but it could also be keeping yourself super busy. Mm-hmm. I know that's true for me. And I talked about that. Yeah. So if I'm super busy, I don't have to deal with my shit.
Yeah. In the books, we say, you know, you either you quit or you numb it somehow mm-hmm. or you face it.
Right.
And those are about your only three options.
And facing it is the hardest.
It's the hardest one.
But the most authentic and healing thing you can do. Yeah. And it's hard. And you may have to find somebody that you can face it with, a trusted person. Yeah.
For sure. This has been good.
Yeah. I'm glad we can share our conversations with people.
Glad we did it. We had a misfire in the first thing. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but
Who knows? Technology. So. Yep.
But feels good to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So make sure and check out the new book, Recovering from
religious trauma.
It's going to be such a great resource that I hope we can just keep forever for mm-hmm. people to see and say,
yeah,
this is how we start this stuff. This is how we don't bypass. Mm-hmm. We find our authentic self. We go inside. We build our intuition. We do some somatic healing. I think all that stuff's going to be helpful. It'll help you. Not avoid, but it'll help lighten the load of the things we've been talking about tonight, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. And as always, you know, I hope it just keeps the conversation going, because I know that can be very healing for me and hopefully others too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we appreciate you tuning in. We're getting sleepy, so we're going to go to bed. But we invite you to be where you are. Be who you are, and be at peace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Desert Sanctuary Podcast.
Remember, all who wander in the desert are not lost.
We believe all of our stories are sacred.
We are always here if you need someone to hear your story.
Check out our blog on Pathios and also our YouTube channel.
And stay tuned for our Leaning Forward Conference.
Remember, we love you.
And be at peace.